I learned I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's harder to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
We have to start off the show, JJ, with some Keane Lynch appreciation. Like, I mean, this was, like, this is just kind of computer game stuff, this lad does be at. Like, I mean, when you talk about, we've seen skillful hurlers down through the years, we've never seen anyone doing stuff this fella tries to do on the field.
No, it's kind of the way you explained it. If someone told you a player over the weekend done a flick through his legs, the first player to spring to mind would be Keane Lynch. It was absolutely unbelievable. He was facing one way, the ball flicked. He was kind of looking at it last night. He said, "How do you even know where the ball was going to go?" You know what I mean? But it was method to his madness there as well. Because if he had went forward, the Cork players would have swallowed him straight away. The ball turned round, he turned round, won a free, and he know by himself, he got to give himself a fist pump.
Oh, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Jeez, that was unbelievable. But you try something like that down when you're messing around with a few of your friends down the Ireland field or something, trying to take the piss out of them, like you're trying to flick them, or they'll try to do it to you, you know. But to do it in the league game, to have the whereabouts to actually do it, that you think about first of all in the helter skelter of a league match, and then actually to pull it off then as well, it's phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. And like some people would say it was showboating, it wasn't showboating, because showboating is a different thing. This worked. This got him out of trouble. This was functional showboating or something. It was just an incredible piece of skill rather than showboating.
That's exactly. I wouldn't call it showboating. No way it was showboating, because it was skill. He got himself out of a massive hole, because as I said, if he'd have went forward with that ball, if he'd have raised the ball, I think Bill Cooper or someone was around him, he would absolutely flatten him, because he would have been off balance as well. But there was method to his madness. Look, it's obviously not his first time he'd done that as well. Like, you know, I'd say if you were marking him down a club train or something like that now, I'd say he'd just make an ejo. He makes the ball talk. You know what I mean? He's just so skillful.
If he's doing that in a league game, what's he doing in training? Is he doing tricks we've never seen before in training? Like, I mean, how is he making... This is in a league game.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you've done this, JJ. And like, I mean, if it's anything like Gaelic football training, before training, you might try a few sidelines or you'll mess around and before Cody comes out in the field, maybe. But like, I mean, that's one thing. He's trying this in a national league game. Like, this has never been seen before.
And pulling it off as well. That's the big thing. Again, it's not Keane Lynch's first bit of skill. Like, we've seen him against Tipperary as well. He just kind of run down the line, the ball popped up into his hand and gone again. You know what I mean? He just has it. You know what I mean? That's not a coach underage developing that skill. That's just completely natural to him. That's him going out into walking down. You can actually see him walking down the street there in Limerick. There's a hurler ball in his hand and just flicking around, just doing. He's just a street hurler is what he is. You know what I mean? Just pure natural skill. And look, he backs it, his ability as well. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people now say, yeah, I can do this. But never even dream of attempting it onto the field. But he has that confidence in his own ability to go out in the field and actually do it as well. And the appreciation he's getting from it, he deserves every bit of it as well. Just the number one, have the balls to do it. And number two, to have the ability to actually just go ahead and pull it off, that bit of skill. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Declan Dalton came down to him after and kind of squared up to him, and he was smiling, I think, at him. Like, I mean, what do you do? And spare a thought for poor Seamus Harnady, who, like, we were talking about getting hooked in the backs being the equivalent of being nutmegged. That's probably more like being nutmegged for poor Seamus Harnady.
I saw Seamus could do now is just give away a free, because to rub salt in the wounds, if Keane Lynch had flicked that ball into his legs, Ronan scored a point, we would never see the end of it. So he'd done the right thing for his own
sake.
He
had to stop him
He had to take him out.
He had an interesting first half, Keane Lynch, because he scored two great points. I don't think we see him getting forward probably enough. He probably times his runs and gets forward maybe twice and makes them count rather than doing it too much. And maybe he just holds around the middle and gets all that dirty ball, and that's the way he wants to play. He had a yellow card for punching Cadogan, which was a pretty dirty punch, really, because it was with his hand. It wasn't it was an obvious I don't like you very much kind of thing, wasn't it?
Well, but in fairness to Keane Lynch, he'd never really go for the point has to be on before he goes for it. He'd rather play in the ball into the far lane. He's a very, very selfless player like that, you know, and that's why he could score a lot more from midfield, but he actually goes for the 30 or 40 yard pass in, and it's bouncing in front of the full forward. Aaron Gillan, he gets a lot of scores from the donkey work that Keane Lynch does out the field. Again, if Keane Lynch brings that on 10 yards, it's kind of a 60-40 shot against him, but he rather plays the ball in, and then Aaron Gillan has a one-on-one inside there. So for a team player, he's absolutely phenomenal, the amount of work he does as well. But he could score a lot more himself, but in fairness to him, he is a team player and he gets the ball into full forward as much as possible.
He definitely does. What did you make of the Cork jerseys?
Unbelievable. unreal. I love them. I absolutely love them. They're just,
I love them. I absolutely love them. But there's something wrong about them not wearing red at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. All right, yeah. But look, lovely idea behind, lovely sentiment behind it there as well. But yeah, I've just seen a lot of love on Twitter even before the match was going on. It was just interesting to see it up on the screen itself. But geez, no, I was very, very happy with them. Now,
do you think there's an element of the psychology going on here that Cork are seen as not being combative enough, and now we're going to wear these jerseys, you know, commemorating, and this will get it into you? Do you think there's a bit more at work here?
I think it is. It's kind of seeping into Cork support. I wouldn't say the players or the management, I'd say it's the supporters really more than that, in saying that we need our team to go in and physically kind of dominate a bit more. And you see their size of their half back line there as well, and they're a big, big unit now, that half back line as well. Mark Holmes out the field, and Dara Fitzgibbon is developing into I think one of the best midfielders in the country as well. Like, so they're getting that nucleus of around the centre that have a big kind of commanding presence on it. But again, you need Aidan Walsh come on in the second half to kind of have that aerial threat now in the forward in there as well. And you see by his goal, he took it absolutely fantastic as well. But I think, yeah, I think setting into the supporters, I wouldn't say not the players, but I think the supporters are liking seeing, and well, if the players do that, that support will get them off the seats then as well.
Yeah. You know, well, here's what Kieran Kingston said after the game, because he's talking about all the frees the referee gave Sean Clear, and we'll get on to that in a second, because he drove me absolutely demented, and I'm not even a hurling person watching that, and I nearly had to turn it off. He said, Kingston said, I think we conceded 20 something of the frees, and we're the softest team in Ireland, as everybody knows. So he's been he's obviously been sarcastic, but it's fairly obvious that this is inside the Cork camp, and they're very aware of the perception.
Yeah, they're aware of it, I'd say. Yeah. But again, think of Cork colours down through the years, like, you know what I mean, they're always kind of ball players really more than that, and that's what kind of springs to mind. They need one or two combative players regarding the Sully, you know, that's what they need back there as well. And Owen Cadigan tries to be that player there as well, like, you know. And but yeah, I can see Kieran probably saying that on the outside, but he's a method of play there as well, and they're playing to the best of their ability in regarding obviously getting the likes of Huggy, and you don't need him sprinting 50, 60 yards up to get a hook. You need a few combative players in the middle to kind of break up the ball for the likes of, again, Dara Fitzgibbon and these guys to run through the middle. Again, you know, Seamus Harney does a lot of work for him as well. Yeah. I thought Robbie O'Flynn, now, I thought he heard very well yesterday in regarding didn't score, but done a lot of work as well, like, you know what I mean, he's very, very quick there as well. So if you can unearth, all they need is one or two players, or getting just give Seamus Harney a kind of a break up there as well, because he can score, but he does a lot of work for the team as well over the last 2 or 3 years, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about this game in part two anyways, because we want to get on to this referee. And Sean Clear, I thought, was an out and out shambles yesterday. Like, I mean, this is not hurling refereeing. Some of the frees he gave there yesterday, the players didn't even realise. Aaron Galan got one, and his man Sean O'Leary Hayes was just running behind him.
And
Gerard Hegarty got something similar. Like, I mean, there's lads completely couldn't believe why they're frees. They're just being marked.
Yeah, I think
Seamus Harnedy got, remember Patrick Horgan took a free and it came off the post. Seamus Harnedy just collected it and he was running back out to field. Suddenly he gets a free.
Again. Yeah.
What's it for?
Yeah.
Like, in Gaelic football, this wouldn't be frees.
It's a surprise on the attacker's face as well. That's what gives it away really more than that. And they don't even know what the free is for. You know what I mean? Because they're still trying to hurl away. But I think it's definitely over the weekend we've seen a lot. I think 100% the referees had a meeting maybe last week and saying about the hand pass. The hand pass was a huge thing over the whole weekend now. Not just that game.
No, the hand
the
pass
game
was
Saturday night there as well.
League Everyone Sunday said last night, Joanne Cantwell said that the referee, they were in contact, and the referees said, whatever committee or whatever, the governing referees, whatever the hell they are, said that there was no extra directive given to them this weekend.
Yeah, it's very obvious that they were blowing the hand pass.
But is it just two bad referees? Is it just Sean Clear, who's not a good referee? He's not. He's about as much understanding of hurling as I have. It would be like sending me out having no clue about the in, you know, because sometimes I used to give out about, geez, when they let so much go, how do you know what a free is?
Yeah.
And you'd know what a free is, and Damien would know, or Brian or Cheddar would know what a free is. I'd be like, well, if that's not a free, how's that a free? I don't know, because I've no understanding of it. He looks to me like he has no clue of hurling. Like, honestly, he doesn't.
He can't say much here, will he? He referees in Kilkenny. You're not going to be so.
He's a Kilkenny referee.
He is.
You must be joking.
If I say that, no, I won't get a free now for this year, will you?
I thought you said to me, hang hang on a second now. That Richie Hogan wasn't sent off, sent off in the All-Ireland final last year. And I said, how is that not a sending off? It's only Kilkenny pundits that say that's not sending off. You said, that's not the way the game is reffed in Kilkenny. How the hell is he accepted him?
He's an inter-county referee now. He doesn't do it anymore. You know,
but he's a Kilkenny ref. I can't believe that.
The two games that were on the telly now, the one Dublin and Wexford and, say, Cork and Limerick there yesterday, the two of them were highlighted because the referee had a bad game in both of them, to be honest with you.
But two of the poorer referees? Is Johnny Murphy a poor referee too?
The Waterford Galway match heard fantastic reports from the referee in that game. Didn't see enough of it on the Sunday Sport there last, Alliance League there last night there as well. So he's seemingly had a fantastic game. You're always kind of saying you're giving the benefit out to referees regarding elements and conditions. Conditions last weekend were near enough perfect. Up in Croke Park, the sod was perfect. Down in Parky Quay, the sod was perfect as well. So it wasn't, that was, you can't give that an excuse. They just had two bad games, to be honest. There's no point in saying any different.
Yeah.
But looking at the teams, looking at the game Saturday night, you knew the referee was blown. From minute one, he was blowing the hand pass. So the teams going into the game Sunday had a huge advantage. The referees are obviously looking at the hand pass. So make sure it's actually clear contact. And they did to the best of their ability, because I have a big grievance with this hand pass as well, because with the hand pass, you throw it up with your hand, you put it with your fingers. And that's about a hand pass. But it happens so quick, it's a skill.
Yeah.
It's being penalised at the moment. And it was highlighted on the Alan Sieg last night that they were genuine hand pass, but they were given freeze against it there as well.
And if you're in doubt, why pull it? Like, I mean, Cheddar's of the opinion that he wouldn't really police that at all. It's not a big deal.
If the player's not under pressure, why would he foul the ball?
Exactly. John Kiley said that, yeah.
He wasn't. And a few of them, they're actually on their own, that broke a tackle and turned them back on their own to hand pass it back to someone. And they weren't under pressure themselves.
Yeah.
Why would you throw a ball then? Like, yeah. You know, fair enough, if you're on the ground and you're losing balance, you're falling to the ground, you'd have to throw the ball in. That's fair enough. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But they're doing it so quick and they are working on it. The amount of drills that inter-county teams do on keeping possession. And how is easy thing to keep possession? It's not hitting the ball 10 yards, 15 yards. It's actually running, hand passing and going again. That's momentum, because it's easier hand pass it and go on with the sport and run rather than hit the ball and then go again, because you're losing a couple of seconds after you hit the ball. So inter-county teams up and down the country are practicing hand passing more than they ever have been, because they want to retain possession. Whereas before, back in my day, starting training, we get the ball 60, 70 yards down the field and then we'll worry about it after that. But now it's all possession and stats driven.
Yeah.
So this is what referees kind of have to kind of speed to some muff there as well. Another grievance I'd have with the referees is the quick puck out. I think that timekeeping and scores should be took away from the referees whatsoever. There's no need to do it. It's an extra. I know.
By the time they write down the score, they're slowing the goalie down.
That's the problem, like, you know what I mean? Because the team that's after conceding a score want to get advantage straight away as quickly as possible. If I'm taking down a score here and then the keeper has it poked out, that's not the keeper's fault. That shouldn't be in my remit as a referee to take down a score. The fourth official should be able to do that, or someone up in the line should be able to do that, and the timekeeping as well. Take both of them out of their hands. So the score goes over the bar. Referee is looking at the goalie. Yeah, let's go again quickly as possible. We have a very, very quick game, quickest game in the world. Why this is slowing it down, and we've seen it three or four times there yesterday as well. The car keeper especially wanted to get the game on straight away, and he was pinging a ball 40 or 50 yards back into a car class hand. The referee blows the whistle. I wasn't ready. I wasn't looking at it. That wasn't the keeper. Keeper's ready to go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that should be took out of their hands completely as well. So it'd give them a bit more time to actually genuinely referee the game and genuinely referees the actual individual tactics of, or individual skills of actually hand passing the ball as well, you know. So
The hand pass is definitely one, and like John Kiley agreed with you and said there's no motivation to foul the ball when you're not under pressure. And like, I mean, they showed last night they weren't thrown. Yeah. And that's it. He's just a terrible referee. Everything, like when you look at your example, the puck outs, all the frees. Now I'm talking, Jesus, the amount of frees he gave that weren't frees. And then you throw the throw balls. He'd a nightmare. This is on the back of him having a nightmare, you know, now against Tipperary and Wexford last year's All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah.
A nightmare, disallowing goals and all. How is he getting big games? I just don't get it. I know maybe you don't want to criticise him. I didn't realise the Kilkenny referee. But how is he getting big games? Because, Jesus, if you're looking at that, what kind of an assessor would look at that and say, that's the way hurling. No, but Rory Jacob was tweeting about this, and I know you all say it, and you're right. He says, if hurling's going to be played, this is the Wexford Dublin game, and this was the similar stuff. I think there was 16 cards handed out, and that was down 13 yellow and 3 reds.
Yeah.
And again, loads of stoppages, everybody giving out about him. And if they're doing what they're being instructed to do, what kind of game do these assessors want? Because it will be a joke and it won't be enjoyable. Because, like, from just a fan of hurling, the fact that the great thing about hurling is it does flow. Yeah. And it's not constantly being blown up, because when hurling's constantly being blown up, it's not a great game to watch at all.
Terrible game to watch. Yeah. It's absolutely terrible game to watch. The thing about it is, the assessor might think that the referees had a good game. That's where my
issue is. That's the scary thing, though. That's
and
a very
thing about
scary
it is,
thing.
If you were a referee, you are judged on the league. How do they pick the championship regarding who's getting the championship games?
Yeah,
they go by the league. So if you do it by letter of law in the league, and Andy Daly was 100% right last night, and Angus League said that they won't be refereed the exact same in the championship. Reason is they don't have to.
Yeah.
What they are doing is now, they're doing the apprenticeship now, and within the league, I'm going to adhere to the letter of the law here now, and then I get my championship games. That's exactly what they're doing. So the assessor, the problem is, the rules the assessors are actually assessing the referees on are completely wrong. They're obviously said about the hand pass rule, and everyone, they're blown left, right and centre, because even if there was a half in doubt, they blew it for a free. So the assessor saying, yeah, you got that right, you got that right. They're taking the boxes for the league games. So they'll get championship games. That's exactly what they're
right.
doing.
Right. Because, yeah, I've heard that before, that they'll be ref differently and that's it. That's, I don't think that doesn't happen in Gaelic football. They don't, you don't know, they'd be ref, you wouldn't see a referee clearly refereeing a game differently, you know, to impress. Conor McDonald, geez, I don't know, the thing about Conor McDonald's red, I think that the referee in that game was Johnny Murphy. He got the penalty decision right. The Conor McDonald red. You know, he got him around the neck with the hurl. I don't know. Like, you mean?
I don't think there's a striking action here, though.
Right.
He left the hurl out. I think Jack O'Connor's tackle was actually worse. That was head high tackle, and that was gone. God was gone past him. And then I think Connor just left the hurl out. He had him sidestepped. The defender was going past him. Paddy Smith was going to go past him.
Very dangerous in the neck,
there.
Though, right?
Yeah, he hit him in the chest, though.
Was it not the neck?
I don't think so. No, right. I think, look, if you're coming off the field without any red marks in your body, you're kind of wondering, it's kind of a badge of honour anymore. Right. You need to get a couple of caps, knowing that you're involved in the game itself. But I don't think, it wasn't a case of he struck back with the hurl and hit him. He left the hurl there and Paddy was going to go past him.
He was running towards
him. He was trying to stop him.
It all happened so fast. Sean Murphy deserved his second yellow. He tried to be smart, got in a wrestling match, might have got a little tip and then went down.
Yeah.
And he was hoping to get the, who was the Dublin player involved in it? I'm not too sure. He was trying to get him sent off and he ended up getting his own second yellow.
He ran a yellow card now. It's a dodgy thing to do, though.
Actually,
trying to block his run. But then
he went down.
Yeah.
Like, I had little sympathy on him walking off. Owen O'Donnell got a very hard second yellow. That was just a bit of wrestling.
That was ridiculous. I'd argue the point now, if the hurls weren't behind the goal and Jack O'Connor didn't fall in behind it,
He wouldn't have got a yellow card. Yeah, because Jack O'Connor looked like the aggressor there, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He said the ball was going wide, he was trying to hold him off. And Owen, as a good cornerback, fullback will do, won't let the forward actually block the ball back in. Look, he wasn't going to get it anyway. But Jack O'Connor fell in past it, in behind it. He got the yellow card. Owen got a second yellow card. Jack O'Connor went on to run down the middle around 5 or 6 minutes later, where Owen O'Donnell would have been. And he ran straight down the middle of the goal and scored the goal. So it's a very, very costly second yellow now for Dublin.
Yeah.
If you're Matty Kenny, you're looking at this, how is that a second yellow? You know the kind of way. Because if you hadn't, if the Horden wasn't there, it was a normal field. You'd run past him, back into the nets, two of them would have stayed standing, walked back out in the field, no yellow card.
Yeah.
Just because Jack Connor fell over. It looked worse than what it was, but it was not handbags.
Even with a man down, though, they made that decision very easy for Jack O'Connor. Like, nobody came.
No.
Jack O'Connor in that situation couldn't believe his luck. If you go to him, at least he has to make a decision with a loopy hand pass, and now you can scramble back.
Take the point one or the other.
Or take the point.
Yeah. Like, they let him run too far
to score a goal, especially in hurling, because the scoring range is.
To defend the lead really more than that, and Paddy was kind of waiting for him to take the point. He wasn't, and then he was kind of, fairness to Jack O'Connor, he was bold enough to go for the goal there as well. Like, you know, he wasn't on when he got the ball first, but he stayed going and going. But then he just couldn't believe it. Yeah,
right, there's nothing on. Yeah. Now there is something on. Geez, no one's coming to me.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Here, I'll take a shot.
As a defender, and you're back and back, it's very hard to, by the time you kind of get your feet sorted and go out and attack him again, it gives the forward a couple of yards as well. Like, you know what I mean? But it's your kind of best off going out and meeting him, and then kind of reverse back a small bit rather than wait for him at 14, and then, because very hard to get your starting your feet going to go attack Jack O'Connor as well. But fairness to me, took the goal well, and Davy Fitz deserves a lot of credit now again. The last two games in a row, Jack O'Connor came on, won the game for him. I know Rory Connor great last 20 minutes as well, but weekend before, Lee Chin and Rory Connor came on. He's making, and Paddy Foley came on there at half time. He made a huge difference as well in that game. So he's making the right decisions at the right time.
He knows his squad inside out. And they're never beaten as well. But then again, they're playing Dublin, and Dublin have a habit of letting leads slip, don't they? Wexford did it to them last year in Parnell
Park.
Dublin
would be very disappointed about that.
Yeah.
Very, very disappointed.
I'd say Matty Kenny looked like there was no inter. I couldn't find any quotes from him.
I think a couple of key lads went off at the wrong time, though. You know, Barrett Cornerback is having a brilliant game, and Chris Cummie went off. He was centre forward. He was a handful now for the Wexford defence. He went off injured too. So he was a huge loss for him.
We were hoping this would be a great game between two evenly matched teams, and the ref kind of ruined that. And I was really looking forward to Limerick-Cork, and I just found myself giving out the whole way through it. God's sake.
Free. There's no flow or momentum.
No flow, no. I'll just finish up on that Rory Jacob tweet, because get off this whole refereeing thing. He says, if hurling's going to be played like Wexford-Dublin was ref tonight, we may as well forget about it. This is what you get when people who don't know the game are trying to interpret the rules. Let the game flow. It's a warrior sport with hits and physical challenges. Don't ruin it, please. And you can't sum it up any better than that. It is a warrior sport. If you take that warrior element out of it and it turns into a kind of a soft, clean sport, that's not the same package at all, is it?
No, it's not. No.
It wouldn't even interest hurling people. That's how bad it would get.
You're going to watch a hurling match, you want end-to-end action. You want speed, you want hitting, you want kind of aggression there as well. But when is the stop? When the referee... A good referee, we said for years, good referee should never have been talked about, should never be seen. You're actually asking after the game, who actually ref that game? Because the actual game is not about the referees, it's about the players playing the game as well.
Yeah.
And a stop-start game, it's a finicky ref just blowing every little thing just to keep himself relevant. Just let the game go and let it flow.
You nearly want someone like me, just a fan of the sport, saying, how is that not a free?
Asking the questions for it. Yeah, we should be talking about that really rather than talking about frees.
I think we were one summer, I was saying, Jesus, it's hard to get a free in hurling. And then again, that's summer hurling, which, like you say,
It will be again this summer when they get their games. You see Cork and Limerick now coming in the Munster Championship. Can referee completely different?
If it's not, there'd be war. If that happened during a championship game, there would be war.
Even you're saying the championship game and someone get a soft red, like Conor McDonald, that was a soft red. I think he got a soft red. He'll be suspended for a couple of games, missed the Leinster Championship, training for 6 or 8 months for a referee's decision that was completely wrong. And his championship is gone. You know, it's wrong.
It definitely is. Another good win for Waterford. And it was a stat last night in League Sunday. League Sunday's a really, really good show, I think, since it started back this year. And the football's excellent as well. Waterford only had 5 players that played in the 2017 final. Now, Tadhg de Burke, obviously, there'd be a few probably because of injuries. And I'd say they could have up or 8 or 9 or 10 of them by the time the championship comes around. But, it is another good win for Waterford. I do think they've beaten Galway now this weekend, which is great. But last year, they beat Galway in round 5 to make the quarterfinals. Then they hammered Clare in the quarterfinals at home. Then they beat Galway again in the semi-final, got to a league final. So the idea that you would read into any sort of league form for a team that's trying to, you know, redeem themselves, you just can't read into their form at all.
No, you can't, but probably didn't see them properly yet, you know, the kind of way. But I kind of like the way they're hurling, to be honest with you. You know, the kind of way they're going back to going playing with their strengths again now, to be honest with you. And it seems to be that the kind of new system that Liam Carroll is adopting as well is kind of working very, very, very hard now, and they're surrounding the ball, and they're kind of mixing up long and short ball as well. So it's back, you're back here with your 6 forwards, five to six forwards at most of the time there as well. So it's great for Waterford. They're going the right direction. The start of the league is probably most important for them, really. If you look at all the teams that they need, especially new manager, they need a bounce in that then as well.
Conor Gleeson was at 6. This is from the 42's match reports. The 42's match reports are always the best because they give the actual
positions.
The actual positions, which I think is very important when you look at it, because you look at some match reports and you see the team at the end, and it's written out like it was in the programme, and that's not where the players actually lined out. So they had Conor Gleeson at centre back, Austin Gleeson, Porrick O'Matney in midfield, and Jamie Barron at centre forward. Interesting enough, isn't it? I still think Austin Gleeson, Porrick O'Matney, they need to beef up your forward line. Find yourself a midfielder or two, you know. Yeah. But he is experimenting as well as getting results.
He's getting a loose ball as well, especially Porrick O'Matney, who's midfield or centre forward, wing forward, and finding Mark Mann up in the forward as well. Move him out to midfield, and it's an extra 10 yards, and he has the length on his strike. He's an unbelievable striker of the ball, right for left. And maybe he might get more spacing around the midfielder
Does that depend what you want as a team? Because I know Porrick O'Matney is playing in midfield. He won't do what Keane Lynch does. He's going to shoot. your inside forwards might not want him. You know, every team, it's very selfless what Keane Lynch does.
Yeah.
And like we always say, even with half backs, they lose the run of themselves. Their adrenaline is up and they're driving it. But like, I mean, I don't know. Like Jamie Barron would probably put it in a little bit more. You know, it depends on what style of play you want, I suppose. I don't know.
As an inside forward, you love to have Keane Lynch out there because you make the run, he will make the ball. And look, it's very easy for the Limerick full forward to make the run because they will get it. It's not more frustrating and not more encouraging for a full back line when you make the run with the corner forward and the ball doesn't come in. It goes aimlessly wide and you're laughing because your man is getting frustrated there as well. And especially after making two or three runs, he's not going to do it. And then the fourth one he won't make, and then you go out in front of him and you're in his head then straight away. You're not away. So it's something like that now. But it's all depend on, you have to, especially the full back, you have to read who has the ball out there and what they're likely to do with, really, more than that. Because if Keane Lynch was there now, you'd have to go with your man. You couldn't let him go.
No, that's true. It'd be interesting to see how they line out Waterford because they are missing some players. And there's no way they'll finish up with five players from the 2017 final. I'd say that would be impossible. Brian Cody came out with a quote, which is just pure Brian Cody. He says, at the end of the day, it's a draw for both teams.
It's exactly what it says in the tin.
Because it's not just a draw for one. It has to be a draw for both of them, if you understand.
You never concede a point, you see. You know what I mean?
Some real old school goals in this one, wasn't there? The one thing about Walter Walsh, he plays wing forward, he plays corner forward. Do you see him at 14 enough? Like, I mean, for that option of a long ball and someone running off him, like, obviously, against Clare are allergic to sweepers at the moment as well, the same as Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And this is why we saw an old school type of game and scores being gotten. There was balls being Gilfoyle for the Ryan Taylor goal, just hit it without even looking. Yeah, when do we see that now? But there's a value in that for a team that's not dropping men back.
Yeah, exactly what it is. But again, the two of them played their opponents really more than that, because they knew there wasn't going to be a sweeper either side. Yeah. So you could afford to do that. Like, nothing worse when you do that and there is a sweeper there and go straight into their hand and the crowd just gets on your back straight away. But it was great to see, because kind of, if Paddy Deegan got the ball and straight down, Bill Sheen got a lovely little touch there for Gerard Aylward's goal there as well, and it's a great flick. But yeah, Shane O'Donnell back to himself there as well. When he does get the ball in early and quick, he can win the ball in the air himself, and he's so quick. When he gets the ball in his hand, he's just lethal, because he either goes for the goal, he doesn't want to score a point.
Yeah.
He either wants to go to goal or make a goal, and he got two actually, one in the second half again near the end, but he made one for Ryan Taylor as well. So phenomenal. I love to see Shane O'Donnell playing. He's just so quick and so accurate, and he's just a great forward, natural corner forward, gets the ball and head down and goes for the goal. He's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. I have him down on my list for performance of the weekend, but we'll talk about him a bit at that. I just thought tactically, now we didn't see this whole game, so it's easy just to say from highlights, but if Brian Cody and Brian Lowen were saying to their players before, lads, there'd be no sweepers today, so I want you to get in good and early. So, like, I know that all the tactics and the talk is not wasting ball, and that's great, but there's a place for a good clearance, depending who you're playing, JJ. Having that in your locker to say, right, this is who we're playing today, lads. Long balls will work today. Yeah. I want you to get it in.
For argument's sake, if you had Jay Clarity, John Conlon, and Shane O'Donnell in the full forward line, win their own ball, no issues whatsoever, and you have Walter and Richie Hogan in the other side in full forward, and Billy Ryan as well. You're saying, right, lads, get the ball into us quick. And that's what they want. They want quick ball in and fast.
Do you think Walter was put in there for that reason? That Brian would have been thinking that in the lead up to it, that this will work today?
Yeah, it's with the Richie full forward, and probably the cornerback never as big as a full back either. So Walter have even a bit more advantage on the cornerback himself, because he'd be taller than him as well.
Yeah, move yourself in there.
Especially the full forward line. If you know the ball's going to come in early, you can actually stay in there. You don't have to make the runs out to the side in as well. It's all about the formation and each player on each individual team knowing what the player's going to do in the ball. Paddy Deegan gets the ball, you've a fair idea he's going to turn and lamp it down the field, especially if he has space. You know what I can do? So they knew when Paddy got it that Bill Sheen came into the middle. They're all kind of bunched up. And Jerry made that run from the 30 yards out. He knew that, he was hoping that the ball would break. In fairness, when you make an honest run, you deserve
there's
a break
an element
that.
Of luck of it.
There is, but you deserve it. You know what I mean? You're not standing out waiting for the ball. He actually went in after the ball himself as well. So he had a good finish as well. So, if you have the lads in there to win the ball, easiest game of the world is get the ball in. Look, it's the hardest thing to have as a team, have a ball winner in the full forward line, but when you do, use them as much as possible.
Yeah, no, exactly. I completely agree. Eddie Brennan was giving out about the Laois beat Carlow, which was a really important win. That was on Saturday night in terrible conditions. Eddie was saying the game shouldn't have even been playing. He says, and we know we just about came out on the right side of it, barely. I think over the balance of it, we deserved it. I'm so proud of the Laois boys. Really hard to battle the dug in terrible conditions, and we're safe now. So Laois are safe. They're safe on the head-to-head, so they can't go below Carlow now. So they're like, I mean, it's a great result from Laois. And to be fair to Laois, Carlow got that. Carlow had the wind in the second half and in the horrible conditions and got it back to a draw. So you would have thought that Laois were in big trouble, but they did dig it out. And on the head-to-head, they're safe. So, like, I mean, Eddie can relax now. They're still in Division 2.
Yeah,
and
big result for now.
Get some injuries cleared up and, you know, be more of a force probably in the chat. And I think Laois are a summer team. Like, Laois do play that short kind of ball game that can break down in these conditions.
For the last couple of games, you can take a couple of chances there as well. Like, you know what I mean? And try a few different things because you are safe now as well. I'd say both teams were signalling out that game is a must win for either team. You know, and now Eddie can relax now and try a few different things, or even rest a couple of these male players as well and just kind of try different players in different positions too. So huge win for Eddie now. Huge.
Yeah. And Ross King was brilliant because I was critical of him in Ennis the week before that the ball wasn't sticking. So we'll talk about Ross in performance of the weekend. The last one for the start of the show here, JJ, is Richie English. It's been confirmed he's out with a cruciate injury. How big of a loss is Richie? We know that full back line of Finn, Casey and him are like rock solid.
Yeah, very, very good. They attack the ball, and when they're on the ball, they launch a lot of attacks from the full back line as well. Like, you know what I mean? They're solid. They know each other inside out. That's the beauty of a full back line that plays with each other as well. Like, you know, they cover each other, but they're always there for each other as well. Like, you know, so it's not an individual one. Richie English is marking the corner forward and Mike Casey marking the full forward. It's not that. It's the three boys against the three who's in the full forward lane, and they'll back each other against the hill because they've done it in the white heat of battle then as well. Yeah. So it's going to be a big, big loss as well. Like you say, Richie McCarthy's gone now as well. Like, you know what I mean? So there are options there in full back. I know Aaron Costa, you heard well yesterday. Right now, he'll have a huge opportunity over the next it's harsh on harsh thing to say, but at this time of year it's probably a good time for John Kiely to get the injury so he can blood Aaron Costa over the next two or three games, and hopefully they will get into the knockout stage and get him a knockout game there as well before the Munster Championship too, you know. So they're going to have to find a corner back now. It's a big, big loss for
plenty
team
of warning. There's finally a position on that team that's up for grabs, because I see maybe Paddy McLaughlin, he could get on it. He offers
Barry
something
Nash
different
is
on
well.
Nash
the
too
last few games, you know,
they're both
the
for the same position.
The half back line now is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Like, you know,
Dan Morrissey is the only he's the only one that should be worried, because there's two fellas going looking for his position,
unless one of them goes back into the corner. So you couldn't see it either, like.
Yeah, but McLaughlin adds something different. I don't think Dan McCormack can score off his left hand side the way Paddy McLaughlin can he?
He just drifts into a lot of space, you know, and off the back of a huge fist given, he's centre back for UCC there as well. So, he's a great year so far, but you know the guys that are on conference, you know what I mean? And he's mad for hurling now at the moment, because after winning with Fitzgibbon, now he's back on it, 2 points from play there the last day as well. Like, you know, and he's not shy in shooting when he gets an opportunity.
No, he's definitely not.
He's very accurate.
He's very good at it. Right, we'll leave it there and we'll come back and we'll talk about Limerick Cork game.
I'd never be allowed to go off and eat a heap of shite, like, and go off a slob or whatever. Like, I was always doing a bit.
All I remember is I thought I was going to get clobbered on the way in there. I threw the ball up in there. I don't know, it was pure luck, no, in fairness. Pure luck. It's fucking bullshit, as you've seen yourselves.
Okay, so it finished up Limerick 29 points, Cork 221, and John Kiely said after the game, he said 3/4 of the game I'd be happy with, 1/4 of the game we certainly wouldn't be. So, like, I mean, they won 3/4-1. So, like, to me, it was a convincing win for Limerick, other than Cork definitely made a game of it by scoring the 2 goals.
Yeah, the 2 goals kind of kept them in it really more than that. And Limerick were always a few points ahead, but the kind of goals brought them back at the right time. But what I liked about Limerick as well, they had a response for every goal. Aidan Walsh got the goal, and then Aaron Glan got a point straight away, and then he got fouled for another score, and he got a free. That's 2 points scored straight away, so it negated their goal really more than anything. They don't panic, but I like the way they kind of look for Aaron Glan when they're under pressure. He's their go-to guy, you know, and he steps up to mark a lot of times, to be fair to him as well. Yeah. Like, you know, so
he got two in response to the Aidan Walsh goal.
Yeah, Aidan Walsh, a phenomenal goal.
Why can't that fella do that more often? Yeah, I pull my hair out with this lad with Gaelic football. I know he's won two Gaelic football All-Stars, but sometimes you're saying, geez, you need to dominate that.
Yeah.
Look at the size of you.
I think he's caught under the ball more than anything, because if you see the goal yesterday, he ran in from the side. He was over at the 6 yard square and ran in and jumped in on two or three lads, caught the ball and was in the
left. But there was an aggression in it.
There was.
Where
yeah.
do you don't he got see off the enough, ground, you yeah, see. You don't see enough aggression in his play. He's this fella's 6'5".
Yeah.
And like has all the footballer hurling you want.
And he gets off the ground so high as well. Like, you know, he has a spring in him as well. But if I was marking him, I'd try and keep him on the ground and not let him jump up in the air. If he jumps up in the air, he's going to catch it. But he actually gets caught underneath the back really more than that, because the back can actually just hold his weight on him and keep him on the ground so he can actually break the ball or catch it. Whereas if he's jumping in like he did yesterday, he's taking the back's kind of vision as well, because he's jumping up in the air. His body is blocking where the ball is going to come. He wins the ball, and the ball was in it before anyone realised where it was. You know, so he needs to kind of vary his stance for the puck out a small bit as well. Don't be standing right underneath where the half back is. Stand 2 or 3 yards over them and jump in on top of them and then win the ball. You know,
right.
So that's
okay.
Nice for him,
and the like he's been tried a full forward.
Hmm.
He tries a full forward. He makes runs like a little small full forward.
Yeah.
And the only reason he caught that is because the free kick or the free drop short.
Yeah.
It wasn't a planned ball into him or anything.
No, it was Cork don't play that game though. You know what I mean?
Jesus, wouldn't it be an option for 3 or 4 balls a half to keep the other team honest?
Yeah. If you knew he was doing it there for the last 5 minutes and a half, get the ball in as quickly as long as possible, like Paddy Deegan and Colin Gilfoyle for Clare as well. Like, you know, so get the ball in as quickly as possible. But you have to know he's there as well. Like, you know what I mean? That has to be prearranged, kind of a tactic there as well to get him in.
Yeah.
But he made a big difference. He works very, very hard when he's on the field. In fairness, he breaks up a lot of ball and he does.
Oh, he improved Cork's performance.
He
came on for Luke Mead at half time, didn't he? Because Limerick were dominating the first half.
That released Darragh Fitzgibbon up midfield as well, and I think that's the only position he can play Darragh Fitzgibbon.
I think so.
He does too much work. He tracked back Keenish one stage and won back the ball, and then Cork were back in the attack. I think he's the closest, as I said on the show before, closest thing to Michael Fenley that is out there. And he's developing. He's going to get bigger and stronger as well. He's seen more the last 2 years. He's physically getting bigger. But the speed he has and the hurling he has as well, like, you know what I mean? He never looks under pressure when he's on the ball, which is a huge thing. It just makes it look easy now, in fairness.
And we all know the difference between playing wing forward and midfield. Midfielders generally don't tend to mark each other.
And if
you're playing wing back, you could mark a wing back who won't mark you tight, but then you could mark another one that won't leave you alone.
Yeah.
Why do you want Darragh Fitzgibbon being marked tight? You want him with a free role. He's a free spirit, and playing wing forward is not anywhere in the forwards is not the game for him.
He's a natural midfielder as well. I don't think he's either a half back or a half forward either. I think he's a natural midfielder. When he goes through the middle, then he breaks lines as well, and he makes scores for a lot of other people as well. He'll always chip in 2 or 3 points in play as well from midfield, you know, that kind of way. So why would you move him? He didn't score yesterday from play either, you know. So kind of he does a lot of work. But the second half, I thought his performance came through the roof there as well. Now that coincided with Aidan Wallace doing the work. I'd probably Darragh Fitzgibbon was in the half hurling to do that work for him. But again, when he's out there, he seems a lot more comfortable out midfield.
Ah, no, he definitely is. So, like, I mean, Limerick, I think a feature of Limerick's play now, they were always doing this, but, like, I mean, a long ball into Galan in the corner.
Yeah.
Now, what I think happens then is everybody out the field kind of goes, all right, well, it's the cornerback's job now to stop Galan. I'm going to start walking. Because this, you know, our man's going to stop Galan or Galan's going to score. So Galan just turns around and looks back out the field when everyone else has switched off, and there seems to be a man completely free. He gave a great ball to McLaughlin for O'Loughlin. Sorry, am I calling him Paddy McLaughlin? Paddy O'Loughlin for a point. And Seamus Flanagan is excellent at doing that as well. Yeah. Always looking for that ball. And there's always someone free. Lads must be just switching off.
Yeah, you see, when the ball's at one side of the field. And
it's easily done.
You think you're grand, you know what I mean?
To get a rest is nice.
Especially when a half forward lane, you know what I mean? Half forward, wonder, right, where they go, for where's the space? And if their half back goes up the field, you're 10 yards behind him before it goes, and if the ball comes in, you're caught. There's nothing you can do. You're hoping the halfback hits a wide, really, more than that. But then Paddy started over the barrier yesterday as well. But Aaron Glenn is so comfortable, especially on his left there as well. When he hits the ball, it's going to hit the target really more than that, whether it's a pass or it goes over the bar. But I think point of the game yesterday has been Patrick Horgan. He's the one that he got it over in the corner himself, and Mike Casey on everything right. He said, right, have this lad out. He's out over the sideline now, 21 yards out. He's not going to score this. Looking at the ball going over the bar, it's a phenomenal score.
How he did that, he didn't even turn his body towards the goal. He was just running in a straight direction away from it.
I swear he's in front of the goal, just a little flick of the wrist over the bar. Phenomenal score.
But I find like this is a great thing about hurling is that, and you see Limerick giving unorthodox passes like Galan. Like, I mean, 10 years ago you wouldn't really have seen a fella pass straight across the field like that.
Or passing back towards your own goal.
Wexford give unorthodox passes for hurling.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it works, because players out the field switch off and don't really they're not tuned into this, because it's not usual. Mm. You've never come across this your whole life playing hurling.
You never hit it back, because just in case, if you hit back to your half back lane and it gets, well, their half back lane to your half forward lane, if you're a corner forward, to the opposing half back lane gets the ball, he could hit it over the bar straight away. It's a point for the score. It should have been a point for you. And if that happens, especially if you're a corner forward, you'll get the curly finger and you'll be whipped off then straight away. You know what I mean? It's never been done, but it's just the usage of space. It throws everyone funnel back, goes back into probably 25, 30 yards away from the goal. So where's the space? 10 yards further out the
back
field
out
than that. That's where the space is, and that's where they're picking out.
That's why you see Wexford, like, that's why you see D. O'Keefe. Mm. And you're like, this is D. O'Keefe now, an all-star. Who's marking him?
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a reason why lads like this are just free, because I don't know. It's just switching off.
It's the unorthodox
passing.
Yeah, and it's encouraged by the management there as well. Like, you know what I mean? And if the option is on, it's a matter if it's 30 yards back out the field. Give it to the man in the best position. He obviously is, you know, and D. O'Keefe is phenomenal what he does, you know. He just drifts into space all the time. Like.
Yeah, no, he definitely... Patrick Collins with the puck outs in the first half went through a very bad phase. David Dempsey got a pint. He went short. Fitzgibbon was his target a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And he got caught by Garrod Hegarty. Garrod Hegarty, I think... I'm wondering who Limerick's most important player is, and I'm starting to think Keane Lynch or Garrod Hegarty. Mm. Would it be right in saying... Anyways, Hegarty gets in just some amount of work in a game, and it's just... He's just a phenomenal beast of a man.
Yeah.
I think David Dempsey should have worked a goal in that one. And then in his next one, he went long, got it as long as he wanted, and they lost that. And then his next one, he went short to Bill Cooper, and Darragh Donovan intercepted that. And then for a point, and then it was 12-6. And Limerick were all over them. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about Patrick Collins. He's, like, I mean, he does have... His puckouts are bullets.
They are, but in fairness to him, he stayed at it. You know what I mean? He backed himself again and again and again, and that's what you look for your keeper there as well. And go back to the referee, don't you? Harp back to the referee again.
Oh, you can if you want.
But if he had let a few of them go, his retention rate would have been a lot more, you know, the kind of way. And he was spot on with them few puckouts, just the referee wasn't ready for him, you know. So
right.
It's
that was the thing. He did keep it up. He did keep it up.
He backed himself.
He does have a good puck out.
He does, yeah. And he's putting pressure on Anthony Nash. That's what he's doing at the moment, because first time in a long, long time, he's actually serious competition there as well. Like,
yeah, which is good. So the Cork improvement in the second half, that probably came. Well, the rock was sent to the stand. Was that in the first half that happened? He was getting thick, and then there was a bit of a row before half time. And young Downey really stood up for himself in that row. I was a bit impressed by him. All right, there was a bit of divilment in that lad, and he was doing a bit of verbals too. Like, he wasn't standing down.
He wasn't standing back.
I was thinking, this lad's no shrinking violet at all. So then they came out and they were well fired up in the second half. Why does it take that to get Cork fired up?
It's a $1 million question. You know what I mean? If you had to answer that, look, teams up and down the country, if you had had your answer to that, now you'd be a millionaire, really, more than that. And it's
Cork
just frustrating for the management.
They can't.
And supporters as well, really.
Kilkenny, Limerick, Wexford, they'll all get up for league games. Mm. Cork can't get up for them.
Until
then,
halfway through the game, you know, that kind of way. And then they could turn it on. Harpy, the thing about Cork is they'd beat you in 10 minutes. That's what they can do. They can turn it on. And the hurlers they have now, they're absolutely phenomenal hurlers. But again, if you get on top of them, there always is for the last probably since the great Cork team now, of The Rock now and Ronan Curran, all these guys, since them, if you can get on top of Cork's first 20 minutes, now you have nearly half the battle done, you know, that kind of way. But now it's up to them players, whoever comes out in the Munster Championship now. It doesn't matter what happens in the league, that's not going to change anything. Munster Championship is where these players have to stand up. No one else can change it, only these 15 or the 24 that's going to come on that particular day. So it's up to them. They know what they have to do. Go out and do it now. It's as simple as that. The management all to say to them is, look, we're beating you with this, everyone is beating you with this, you're soft, you're calling you this, this and this, go out and prove them wrong. It's a huge thing for the Cork management to have in front of them. Like.
Do you think the Cork management are saving that kind of motivation for the championship? Like, you mean,
why would you use it now? You know, you're just kind of saying they're defeating the purpose of it, really. Because, look, again, the likes of Limerick, you're playing them again in a few weeks' time. Whole fire, this is what they have. This is what the level you have to get up to. The aggression you show in the second half is saying you can compete with them. First half, you're blown out of the water. So you've been there, you've seen it yourself. If you don't go chase the ball, you're letting your body down there as well. So go ball headed for the ball, like, you know what I mean? There's no other way about it. You have to do it, you know.
Yeah, no, there's not. I think there was 11,000 there. Jesus, 11,000. Imagine, like, in a way, they should cop themselves on, because if there was 11,000 at a league game in football, you wouldn't go out sauntering through it. You'd be like, holy shit, look who's come out. Look what's come out here.
Like, couldn't be very forgiving supporters either. You know, they let you know fairly quick to be vocal.
Yeah, I just can't comprehend it, because it's not like it, you could understand if there's 1,000 there and it's a bad evening and it's excusable. This was a good day for hurling. The referee was a disaster, but there was 11,000 of your own fans there. For me, getting up for that should not be difficult. Yeah, and even though it's only a league game.
It shows mentality, like half-time switch. It wasn't the case of what the manager said. It wasn't what the manager said. It was the players that go across the white line, second half, each to a man said, right, we have to go attack it. Whatever was said, we have to go do it ourselves. We can't wait for someone else to do it. And they did it in the second half. It's just two extremes in the first half and the second half. They have to get rid of what happens in the first half. If that happens in the first half, they won't get out of Munster. But they need, they can show what, that's what the frustrating part is. When they actually go at it, they can show how good they are. So again, it's proof what sort of players, what team they want to be, really, more than that. Because you're not going to win that and just standing back.
Because Kingston has chopped and changed his team a bit throughout the league. So, like, I mean, it's not like players have their positions nailed down. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are players to come in now and take some positions. Yeah. Back there's options on each line of the field. He's completely dismantled the half back line, for example. Anyone can play midfield now, and the half forward line, Lehan's not guaranteed his place anymore. You know, like, I mean,
Shane Kingston's after coming on. He had a great league as well. Again, coming on to the back of the Fitzgibbon after winning a competition like that, it's a huge conference for an individual player, and him coming on, he had a great goal there yesterday again. Like, you know, so if he can up that game another bit again, he could be a game changer for Cork now. To be fair,
he scored a great goal. But I'm trying to think of the things that motivate Limerick, for example, or motivate Dublin, you know, teams that have won All Ireland, and it's the fear of losing your position, and that was what motivated you with Kilkenny. So he has introduced this to Cork. So, look, I mean, still think there should be no excuse for not, you know.
Maybe the penny is dropping with him, maybe in the second half. Yeah. Maybe he said, look, whoever you think you're starters, you're not anymore. You know, the kind of way we have lads to come on there as well. So, look, we won't know until the next couple of games. You hope they kind of show a spark of what they'll do in the championship. But the Munster championship is where it's all about. If they don't perform in the Munster championship, that's where the issue is going to be, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just to finish up, what did you think of Seamus Flanagan? I love seeing him back on the Limerick team. I love watching Seamus Flanagan. Yeah. I think every team needs him. He never stops going. He's brave. And he scored two great points in the first half. You know, picked out a couple of good passes. I think he's a spark. Limerick, like, if there's ever a team, ever a player to break onto their team from last year, it's him. But now that's not really breaking on, because he was there all star form the year before.
He's lucky again. He's coming back to prove himself, and he's given a great answer to John Kiely, really, more than that. And obviously he wasn't playing for a reason last year, you know, and he wasn't really going on a full pelt, but this year now he seems to be right. Get my head around it now. I don't want to have another year like last year again. I seen the heights of 2 years ago. I want to get back to that again. Yeah. Only way I can do it now is kind of run. His game is just, it's phenomenal. Like, he just runs in a loop and a loop and a loop. The full back line, it just has a nightmare. Yeah. Trying to follow him, and you can't let him go either.
You'd be tired, JJ.
You would, JJ. You'd be passing him off to someone else to get someone else to mark him.
Is that the best thing? Well, you can't really pass him off. Not with Limerick.
No, not at the moment. You know, again, you're talking with Keane Lynch. You put it in your pocket. Do you know what I mean? You can't let him go. Like, you know, so you have to go with him, and he brings players into uncomfortable positions as well, and bringing Owen Cadigan back out the field there as well, whereas Owen rather sitting around the house now and kind of wrestle away with him. But he's coming good now for John Kiely at the right time now as well, and you probably see himself, Aaron Gillan and Graham McCarthy back in the full forward line come championship again, I'd say. You know, he's putting
Peter
his hand Casey, back up again.
Peter Casey would lose out in that, and he had a good championship last year.
Again,
he might.
Sure, it's going on form. Again, John Kiely can pick on form as well. And he always has that Peter Casey, or whoever starts, he always has the other kind of hanging over him there as well. So if you don't perform, you're gone. It's a great place to be.
Peter Casey won't like me saying this, but I think Peter Casey plays better coming on than Seamus Flanagan does.
I don't think anyone likes hearing that.
No, it's a disaster when you do perform well, but Seamus Flanagan doesn't impact the game when he comes on.
His game is all movement, run, and then he'd run you into the ground, like, you know. And then last 20 minutes, though, he can pop off a couple of scores and a couple of breaks when he's running around, but I don't think he'd get the ball, and he won't be a game changer, but he's very, very good when you have the 70 minutes to play with, you know.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. Right, we'll come back with performance of the weekend.
We have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys, so I brought them down, and so we did. We actually sold them to, I think, like four donkeys. on the day, and we sold him to a man from Wexford, so we did. So there's the pie ball donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
Yeah, you see them on the beaches and everything. So yeah, you can actually one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your, we'd say, your bonuses, your glance. A donkey in Eden, a donkey in Eden Palace.
Okay, so performance of the weekend. Not too many standout performers, I didn't think, in the
the free takers, Willie. We're all brilliant.
Yeah, Patrick Horgan, has he got a really big boss on his hurl? Yeah. Remember he went back for a free in the first half, and it was a really long range one. It was between the 45 and the 65 on the other side, and he scored it.
Yeah.
And he just got a good look at the boss of his hurl. Yeah. It was like, that's nearly like goalkeeper size.
Yeah, it's big boss in the hurl, right?
But you see, unusual
you
for
see
a forward.
The mark in the boss of his hurl, all the ball around the centre of his hurl. So he hits it in the sweet spot.
That's right.
All the time.
You know, why, is it for long range frees he uses?
No, it's
the big
just from play. Right. No regulations on it, really, more than that. And you know, the bosses are after getting bigger for the last probably 7 or 8, 10 years, really, more than that. And it was just very, very small. But obviously, the bigger it is, the more forgiving it is, really, more than that. You know?
More forgiving, but yeah. He doesn't need the forgive. That's a hurl I might use rather than Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ross King scored 12, 3 from play on a really bad night. And did you notice about Ross King's style of striking? He strikes the ball real low to the ground.
Yeah.
He drops it down and whips it.
Whips it up, yeah.
Isn't that unusual? Is that to not be blocked down? Is that
very
like
hard to block it down, really.
It's
yeah,
unusual because, technique, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because if the ball drops and you're hitting it underneath that, it usually kind of tails to the left or right.
You know, come across it too much.
You come across it, yeah. Whereas you throw it up in the air, you're getting underneath the ball. Whereas the ball's below your knee level, really, you're getting it, and there's going to be a kind of a slice on it, really, more than that. But he's well able to judge it because he was on fire the other night, in fairness.
Yeah.
Needs must when you need your big player standing up. And in fairness to Carlo, Marty Cavanagh stood up to the mark now as well. He had a brilliant game for Carlo again, and he's doing it for the last couple of years now for Carlo, you know. So it was kind of shootout between the two of them on a bad night. But you can say Ross King now, look, he's capable of doing that. He'd probably get on most teams, really, to be honest with you, you know what I mean. But he's kind of a stylish lefty hurler too, so it's great to see the lefty left-hand hurler scoring points.
He's a very skillful player, all right. But I was just kind of wondering about the technique and why he developed it. I must ask him that. I must be not to get knocked out, not to get blocked down. Because remember John Milan, right? Now, he was the opposite. He'd throw it a mile the air, but he threw it up behind him.
He'd off the back step, whereas Ross is hitting it. When the ball's in your hand, you're kind of ball to the hurl as quickly as possible. When it's down, you're dropping it rather than throwing it up.
Yeah.
So you're not giving the defender come in and getting an opportunity to get the block in, like, because you have a hit.
So you're getting the shot off quicker then.
But the problem is, you have to judge it properly because you'll have the whip on the ball itself because you're cutting across it.
Right. So if you want to put a good swerve on it, you do that.
Because
you do see players, and you just see this while they're messing around with each other before a game starts.
Yeah.
You know, when they're just pucking to each other.
Yeah.
Might see the odd lad just drop it down and whip across it, almost like, you know, you might do in tennis or something like that.
Yeah, you'd whip that way then.
And get a bit. But in a game, it's just too hard to control. How does he control it then?
Sure,
so
well? Obviously, he must have been hitting like that majority of his career, really, more than that. So he has that kind of, he knows where to hit it, where to start the ball, and where to want to finish there as well. Like, you know,
Colin Montgomery in the golf.
Yeah.
Rory O'Connor, we've mentioned him. He scored 3 at crucial stages of the game, and his brother Jack, obviously. Like we were saying with Wexford, like, how serious a team, not playing well, men down. Mm. Have they reached this level now where they're able to beat the likes of a Dublin away, 2 men down, not playing well, disastrous referee?
Yeah, brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
like,
brilliant form.
And did that in Parnell Park last year against him. Came back with, Kilkenny had equalised against them, I think, on 42 minutes with a gale, and beat them.
Kicked on, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Self-belief is a huge thing now. Again, you're talking about Davy Fitz, that's what he brings to the table, really, more than that. But the players went out in the field and they're proving it last year. Last year was a huge year for them. And that could be kind of a line in the sand, really, more than that. Because they were so close to an Ireland final. They were in touching distance. They should have got there, really. Looking back and being critical, they should have got there. But they've seen themselves, I say, over, they probably watched that game a few times over the winter as well. Like, so we're that close. But again, they need to bring that resilience back into their team. And they're doing it. And you see, markers like that within the league will drive them on come championship, because they know in the back of their head that they'll never be bet. You can say, any manager can say that to a team, you'll never be bet, you'll never bet, but you have to prove that day in, day out, and they've done that over the last couple of weeks. Huge thing for them. Like, and I'd say Davey was delighted going back down the road there on Saturday night.
Oh, I'd say he was. He looked livid when the final whistle went. I'd say that was the referee.
Matty, yeah, I'd say himself and Matty had a go at the line at each other there. And
oh,
they were, yeah. And Greg Kendy was in there, and Saoirse Buffin were in there as well. So they were all kind of going mouthing at each other there for a while.
Right? Oh, I didn't see that, right? Because a fella came over to Davey then, and Davey was livid, and he must have been saying, go up now.
But all is forgiven after the game there as well. Like,
it didn't look like it with Davey now, to
I'd
be honest.
They were chatting away though after it.
Oh, were they?
They were talking for a minute after, and then look, I'd say whatever they said to each other now, it was all brushed under the carpet again.
Very
waiting
good
for the championship.
Kyle Hayes scored 3 from play, I think, in the end. He got 2 late ones when the game was in the melting pot. He took a huge hit off Owen Cadogan early on. He was completely open. You know those ones?
Wide open.
Wide open for
not
a good.
You don't even see him coming.
No, that's
you just
the
have to take it. Like,
yeah, because if you don't, if you think, or you in any way pull out, you know, you know it's coming, and you just have to.
You have to
take it.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that was his first game back in a long time, was it?
Was
first game this year.
I'd say first game this year. Yeah. And look, he's a powerful player. Like, he's just so effective going forward. Linchpin for him, but I think next couple of years you'll probably see him back centre back whenever. Declan Hannan kind of slows down a small bit, I'd say he'll go back there. That's his natural position. But for a person up there now that's probably not a natural forward, he's a phenomenal player now. You know what I mean? He's so big and strong, and he's off right
like
or left.
He's gotten
as well.
Bigger, doesn't it?
He does.
His chest and
they're all the Limerick lads look huge now.
Yeah.
In fairness, they all look massive.
Yeah, they definitely do. You've mentioned Shane O'Donnell. He scored 2-1. I don't know, to be honest. I'm a little bit like Shane O'Donnell, flatters to deceive, or maybe they're just not playing to his strengths, or maybe it's the sweeper messes him up.
He's a whole unselfish as well. When he gets the ball, he kind of he throws it around a bit too much, I think, for a corner forward. I mean, he's a bit more selfish. Now, that's probably talking from his last three or four years, really, more than that. He kind of takes a lot of punishment. But when the ball comes into him, the ball sticks all the time. You rarely see a back get out in front of him and driving the ball back up the field. If you were playing the back with him, you'd hit the ball down to his corner because it's going to stick down there. You give yourself a break, you know. He's a huge tackler as well. Like.
Yeah, and we know that his specialty is scoring goals. Mm. And I don't know. I just often think, what is his unique selling point? Is it goals? And then he'll go off games without scoring goals because, I don't know, he's passing it off. Mm. Is he a ball winner that passes it off, or is he a goal getter? Or what? You
he
know
can
that
be of, both, you see. That's the thing, you see. An individual,
can you be both?
He can be both. But in the same game, he can be. You know, in a way, it's all depending on the ball coming in. But see, over the last couple of years, the ball was so slow coming into him. I'd say he didn't really get an opportunity one-on-one with the defender because, obviously, the ball was going through the lines. The half-back line was filtering back in front of him, so they're blocking up the space. Now, again, you've seen the damage you've done now with the high ball in there as well. Like, you know, he doesn't mind a high ball in the air. He's well out to win the ball or break it down for himself.
Yeah.
If the ball breaks, he's gone.
And
especially if the quick ball, I don't know why, again, I'm hoping they will stick with that tactic down through the Munster Championship, because if they get it into him, he breaks it down, he has space as well. There's only going to be 2 or 3 players around him, and he'll get it, and he'll go straight for it. He'll either draw a defender, or he'll go for the goal himself. Like, you know, so
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if they do stick with that tactic now going forward.
They will when they can get away with it, I presume.
Yeah.
You know, but with a sweeper, it would be madness. I'm not talking about breaking the ball down to yourself. See Seamus Flanagan's one yesterday in the first half, where it was a rocket of a pass.
Yeah.
He took it down off the hurl in the first go, but not down into his hand, down into his hurl second go, and then caught it.
It's phenomenal skill, like.
Very good.
Yeah, phenomenal skill, because sometimes you put up your hurl like that and either miss the hurl or else go out over the sideline or something like that, you know what I mean? But yeah, phenomenal touch. But it shows his confidence is back again, you know what I mean, to try something like that.
Yeah.
Normally if the ball is up over your head, you stick up the hand, you either catch it or try and break it down with your hand or something like that. But to have a touch of that and to kill it on the hurl the second touch is phenomenal skill.
It definitely is. So if Kilkenny, as if Kilkenny don't have enough options in the defence, Darragh Mullen plays wing back yesterday and plays fantastically for Kilkenny.
Great game again. Now he came on against Wexford there last week, obviously got the break after Ballyhale, but you go back to the Ballyhale kind of campaign, whenever Ballyhale played against the sweeper, he was always a sweeper for Ballyhale.
Right.
He's so comfortable on the ball. He's very, very good awareness on the ball. He's just a natural kind of hurler. He kind of hurls similar to kind of Chad when he gets the ball. He's very deceptive as well, and he's good at right or left. Good in the air as well. Now, in fairness, we caught a couple of good balls.
He's not that big, is he?
No, he wasn't that big, but he's very, very good in the air. So, yeah, promising start from him. to be honest with you, I'd like to see him over the next couple of games and to see can he kind of fulfil it. But he has potential. He has potential. You could see him when he was playing Kieran, who was half back. He was very, very good as well. So you knew you're always kind of keeping an eye on the name and see how he progressed. But right. He's getting a run now with Kilkenny, so you'd be hoping now that he'll stay going with it.
Yeah. Any word on Adrian Mullen? He went off on a stretcher. Yeah. Did you see him smiling at someone on the stretcher? Yeah, he can't be that bad if he was.
Was his knee or his ankle or something like that. I'm not sure. I didn't hear anything since now, to be honest with you. But hopefully now he's a big player for Kilkenny now as well. So we need him back. Need him back.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Definitely
now,
up front.
I wouldn't mind the rest of the league. I wouldn't mind that. But you need him back for, he needs to be back training probably 3 or 4 weeks before the Leinster Championship anyway, so just to get the eye in and everything like that as well. Because again, he's not a hurling done, but again, if he should be to break for 3 or 4 weeks and then another 3 or 4 weeks on top of that, then the Leinster Championship on top of you, your first touch is not where it should be.
You've confidence issues
it's tricky.
But the fact that he smiled on the stretcher would make you think he's not in complete agony. You
hoping it's positive.
I know he's a bit of a messer on Twitter, Adrian Mullen, isn't he? Him and Owen Cody and these lads, they're little pups.
Owen Cody came on then again. High ball, I won it again, you know, that kind of way.
Owen Cody's important because Kilkenny have, I think they've loads of options in the backs. I think the forward line picks itself. Do you know, I don't think they've as many options in the forwards. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Blanchfield's an option. And
yeah, Blanchfield pulled his hamstring there a couple of weeks ago as well. Now, in the Fitzgibbon final, so he'd be out for a couple of weeks now. Right. Unfortunate enough, because he was hurling well with Carlo IT as well.
Who would be ahead of who? Blanchfield or Owen Cody? Different strokes for different folks.
It's very hard to throw Owen Cody in now. It's your first year, you know. If he gets a couple of more games over the next couple of weeks, you might see him come championship, but Blanchfield didn't try and test it in inter-county as well. It's very hard to throw a young guy in there without that experience. But in fairness, my manager would do it now if he's hurling well in training. Would Brian do it now, to be fair?
Yeah, okay. Listen, that's it. Who are we giving performance of the weekend to? Ross King. And we'll find out about this practically striking it off the ground he is by the time he hits it. Yeah, so 12 points is great shooting from Ross. So performance of the weekend goes to him. We've no boxer shorts or anything anymore. So listen, nobody really cares if they get it anymore. We'll give you a surprise, Ross. I'll buy you a pint. Right, that's it. We'll be back next Thursday and we'll preview the weekend's hurling. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, I'm heartbroken. Let it go, 'cause